goes for it. Sean Mackey, the strike!
It's Calvin Miller against McGowan. Miller sends it in!
It's Miller time, baby! Champions again! Falkirk have broken through the glass ceiling! After 15 years in the wilderness, Falkirk Football Club has once again a Premiership club!
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue, are you?
Do you know the musical Six, Ross?
I'm familiar with it, mate, yeah.
Well, I'm just waiting for the memes and GIFs and WhatsApp messages to come flooding in with pictures of that musical and songs from that musical after the Bairns were hit 4-6 by the Teddy Bears yesterday at the Falkirk Stadium. Hello, welcome to Falkirk Daft. I am John McAnally, your host of this podcast, and I'm joined by the Ginger God of Pod in the main stand. He is the one-man band. It is Ross Wayne.
All right, mate. It's, it's been a tough wee while.
Okay. Do you know what? It was a bad day at the office. It was an incredibly bad day at the office. On the pitch and off the pitch. We're going to discuss both on this podcast today. But 24 hours on from the game, how are you feeling, Ross?
You from the game itself, I don't think you should be scoring 3 goals at home and losing the game, to be honest. If you told me with pre-game that we'll score 3 goals, I'd be expecting a draw minimum. Obviously, we haven't got any points from the game. I don't know if it was a game of two halves, though, because I didn't think we played particularly brilliant in either half. Like, I thought we did okay in the first half. I've seen us play better, but we found ourselves 2-0 up. And it was just a weird, weird game of football.
Very entertaining for the neutral, I have to say.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, it was. For those that were watching at home, I'm sure it would have been a really good fixture to watch on the Sky Sports. But yeah, it was a weird, weird game. As you said, off it, particularly brutal as well.
Yeah, we'll talk about the game and the scenes off the park in just a bit. But we've got to say thanks very much to you guys. Falkirk Daft Live went on sale last Friday and it sold out in 45 minutes, which was unbelievable. So thanks as ever to watching this podcast, to listen to it, and for all your support. Hopefully it'll be a great night. We are in the midst of booking guests. We've got, obviously, we mentioned and we've teased that John McGlynn and Paul Smith will be there on the night to have a bit of chat with us, answer your questions, and we'll be looking for other legends to join us on the night, maybe a bit of music as well. So it should be a cracking night to end the season. What's been, and let's not forget, that was the biggest blow of the season was yesterday, and even then, we played really, really well. But it's been an amazing season. It could be even better this time next week. We'll wait and find out about that. But yeah, Falkirk Daft Live, sold out. Thank you very much. Everyone's been kind of messaging me now going, how can we get tickets? What can we do? I'm so sorry that if you've not been able to get tickets, I'm so sorry you've not been able to. Hopefully the next one. Maybe we'll be playing the Hydro. Who knows? But Behind the Wall is for just now, and obviously we thank Behind the Wall for having us and as a sponsor of this podcast. Not much in the way of club news beyond what's going on. I saw Dunfermline hit the 10,000 barrier for the tickets, still waiting to see if the club, if we must be there or thereabouts for the 10,000
tickets. Must be there. Yeah, I fully expect that announcement to come very, very soon. We were, 3 or 4 days ago they announced 9.5, so yeah. It can't be far away. I do wonder if after yesterday, because the club haven't done a lot on social media since the game, I do wonder if they're maybe just kind of leaving it be for a bit before they start putting stuff out about this weekend coming. But listen, it looks like the crowd will be pretty much 50-50, which is actually, as much as you want the bragging rights that you've got, 3,000 people more than they have, right? Actually, if anything, the fact that it is going to be 50 shows the sort of size of the two clubs. We knew, we Everyone knows the two clubs are very, very similar in size anyway, right? It's only like each fan base that sort of tries to blow the smoke up the other one's bum. But the clubs are very, very similar in size. So it doesn't shock me that it is going to be a 50-50 attendance. And the good thing is, it is going to be north of 20,000 at Hampden as well.
Yeah, I thought they might actually do more than that. I thought we might actually get kind of half full almost and get like up to 26,000 there. I thought maybe 13 each, but I've obviously
Looks like the
fallen
price
short
is
of that.
from what I gather, and listen, it's not the regulars that are saying it's the price, right? Because the regulars are going to go.
Yeah.
But if you've got floating fans who are maybe extended family or friends of friends, and they think, oh, listen, I'd like to go along, the price point isn't the best for that perspective. But it's the same for both teams, and in fact, it's the same for both semi-finals. So it is what it is, and I'm sure the Falkirk fans and Dunfermline fans will be making plenty of noise, and I'll be pretty colourful on the day as well.
Couple of floating fans and strangers in that main stand and north stand yesterday, I'll tell you that much. Maybe we should try and sell them some tickets. But got to say, before we go on, thank you very much to Rumour Architecture, who are sponsoring this week's episode. They've been on the go for 5 years and were set up by Ryan Marshall, who's a big Bairns fan. And as I say, if you're looking for an architect, keep it in the Falkirk family. He's been doing it for about 17 years now, and he's done some amazing jobs around the town. We've mentioned, obviously, the flats at the old Polish clubs and the house at the full Polish club. You've got the Country Carrots, he did that as well, where the Leckies used to be. So he's a great architect, he's a great guy. Speak to Ryan if you're thinking about you need an architect, and you're going to get a 10% discount if you mention this podcast. So just mention Falkirk Daft when you're speaking to Ryan, and he'll give you 10% off your project. And he's very happy to speak to you as well. Find them at rmar.co.uk, rmar.co.uk. And we thank Ryan for sponsoring this podcast and the live events as well. So we'll see Ryan and see if you're get Ryan at the bar. And he might even give you more than 10% off if he's at the next, you see him at the Falkirk Daft live event. Just get him pished, and I'm sure you'll get a good deal on all your architectural needs. So yeah, I thanks very much to Ryan for sponsoring this week's episode and Rumour Architecture. I don't know how we've ended up in this. We've ended up in F Factor season, even though we're out with F Factor season.
Maybe we should be in F Factor season, because the live event is what, literally a month away. So
Oh, but we only do it
maybe we
once a
should.
year. We only do it at the Christmas show. We only do it at the Christmas show. You know how the F Factor runs at Christmas, you
Very
know?
true. That's a good point, actually. What's the summer? Is Britain's Got Talent not is the summer version, isn't it?
We
So
could do that. We could do that. But we're going to have our Play of the Year awards, obviously, the Falkirk
we
Daft
are.
Play of the Year awards at the live event as well. So that'll be good, and hopefully we can get John's opinion on that at the time as well. But yeah, thanks very much to Alan Risk, who got in touch with us, and he has given us a voice note because we were talking about obviously Deeper Shade of Blue by Steps, and we got obviously our message about Steps and last week. We didn't slag them off, honestly, but Alan Risk has been in touch with us and actually sent us a voice note for Deeper Shade of Barney, which we butchered a couple of weeks ago. So here's Alan with Deeper Shade of Barney taking a bit of a loan from Steps. Here we go.
Right, I'm having to send this because Ross absolutely butchered the attempt. And as a good Steps man, I didn't
Good
expect
steps,
that
man.
from him. So here we go. Barney Stewart, he's scoring goals for you, and the bands are marching through. It's our man, Barney Stewart. One, two, three, Barney Stewart. He's scoring goals for me. Not one, not two, but three.
Nice.
It's our man, Barney Stewart. Oh, big Barney Stewart.
There you go, bold Alan Risk there, ladies and gentlemen.
To
Absolutely
be
outstanding.
fair, he did very well
You
there.
know
He
how
did
do
very
you hear
well.
him how he did it kind of in a hushed tones? I was wondering, I wonder if Alan's got family or maybe a girlfriend or wife, and he's had to do it in more of a hushed tones to the wife or the family coming going, what
But
the
then he's just played it to 3,000 people and watching and listening Falkirk Daft. So
doing? Love that.
he's
Thank you
done
so much,
brilliant.
Alan. Thanks everyone for getting in touch with various different songs. Absolutely loving that. that chat. Before we go to Bertie Connor, Gabriel Rooker, we got to this mystery last week. You thought it was a wind-up. Tom's been back in touch, and I love this. Says, hi, John. Not sure what the confusion was on last week's episode regarding Gabriel Rooker. He most definitely is a real person and said he sees Ross in the main stand at most games. He says he'll introduce himself at one of the games over the next few weeks. Thank you. There you go. So there's a Gabriel, apparently, as the Gabriel Rooker is out there amongst us in the main stand. So we'll wait and see if you get to meet him in the next couple of weeks. Who knows? Who knows? Right, listen, let's talk about birthdays now and go into Birthday Corner. And by the way, happy birthday to our very own Ross Wayne, 51 last week as well. We forgot to do it on Birthday Corner. 54. So honestly, 51 years old. It doesn't look a day over it. Honestly, you're looking really good for your age.
Can I just say, firstly, right, obviously, thank you for the birthday mentioned, not only today, but last week on socials. And the amount of people that I had messaged me saying, I didn't realise you were 51. I was like, no, I'm 45. I said, listen, I'm 45. So I made that clear. I'm not even proud of the fact I'm 45, but I'd rather 45 than 51. But thank you.
I just kind of picked a number out there. I thought it'd be too bit. If we say 50, if that's too much, and that'll be a big celebration. But 51 seems about right.
Yeah, no. I even had actual, I don't know who's doing the behind the wall socials these days, now that Brian's away, but I literally had a message on my Instagram from whoever's doing behind the wall saying happy 51st birthday.
Like, amazing. Amazing.
I'm 40 fucking five.
Oh, I loved that. Loved that. I had a bit of fun doing that. But listen, a couple of birthdays that are coming in. Happy belated birthday to Alan Peacock on the 8th of April. That's from Cammy, Molly, Caroline, and Bailey. And Teddy the Dogs. Bailey and Teddy the Dogs. Come on. Yes. Love it. Happy belated birthday also to Ross Carroll, who turned 27 on Friday. That's from Blair, Ian, and Brian. No dogs in that one, unfortunately. And also happy birthday to Rob Haley, who is 62 on Tuesday the 14th of April. That's from your son, Rab. They're both season ticket holders in the Kem stand. So happy birthday, Rab. And that's from Rab Jr. There you go. So happy birthday, everyone. Hopefully, Falkirk give you a very good birthday present this week when we beat Dunfermline at Hampden, fingers crossed. A couple of players celebrating their birthday over the last weekend. Today, as we record the podcast, Mo Johnston, Momo Supermo, 63 today.
Yeah, that makes you feel old, doesn't it? Like hearing the 63. Boys that you watched in their prime to a degree are now 60s and 70s.
Exactly. Cameron Blues as well, obviously started at Falkirk, still going. I think he was involved in the academy setup. I don't know if he is now or not, but he certainly was. And I've heard he's a very good football coach as well, but he's obviously still playing his trade with Morton. 28, Cameron Blues is now. But I don't know. I need to find out if he's involved with the academy, actually. Someone can let us know about that. Alex McDonald. Remember Alex McDonald? Turns 36 on the 14th. Gary Miller. Always thought Gary was a good player. He turns 39 on the 15th. I always thought he was a decent player.
Yeah, he was a Lee Miller and McCracken signing, wasn't he?
Yeah, I always liked Gary Miller. But, you know, he kind of was a bit of a utility man. And I always thought he'd put in a bit of dig. Daryl Duffy, the one and only Daryl Duffy, turns 42 on the 16th as well. Daryl had the pleasure of speaking to him in the 1876 lounge before. And top lad. Actually, he'd be quite a good one to get for the Falkirk.
He would be good, actually. He's well travelled as well. He's a good talker.
Been to some mental places to play football as well, which is amazing.
Like Airdrie.
Brilliant. On the 17th, you share a birthday with my wife Siobhan, who's 50. I should really say happy birthday to my wife Siobhan, who is actually 50 this Friday. She'll be mortified if I've let people know that as well. So happy.
Have you got a picture for the socials that you can send them?
No, absolutely not. But happy birthday. And my darling wife shares her birthday with Chris McCart, his son Jamie's still kicking the ball with Hearts now. And Jamie McDonald, cup final goalkeeper, and had a really good season with us, apart from the cup final, but he was probably at fault for the goal. But he's turned 40, there you go, Jesus. And then other ones, on the 18th, Paul Payton. Again, I thought Paul Payton got hard done by. I always thought Paul Payton was a decent player in the Navy Blue, but a lot of people disagree with that.
Not for me. I know he had a good career at like Dundee United and stuff, but I think his legs were gone by the time he signed for Falkirk, unfortunately.
Yeah, Kai Fotheringham, you know, he's at St Johnstone now. I think he's on loan from Dundee United, but he's a Falkirk Bairn as well. You know, unfortunately, just the with the academy going tits up, he ended up at Dundee United and had real potential. Obviously, we had him on loan briefly as well.
When he came back, it was just the wrong time, wrong team. I think you have Kai in a John McGlynn side. He probably fares a lot better for Falkirk on his return.
Yeah, we'll wait and see. He might end back up top like his mentor Sibs. And on the 19th, Gordon Marshall, legend of a goalkeeper for the club, turned 62. And Finiesta, happy birthday to Finiesta. Hopefully, the day after the cup final, you're celebrating with getting absolutely steaming and just enjoying. In fact, you'll be maybe suffering from a hangover if we beat Dunfermline on Saturday. But Finn turned 22, and we'll talk about it as a goal yesterday, you know. Another cracker from Finn. But aye, yeah, happy birthday to Finn when he turns 22. I meant to ask you, when we talked about the club news then, we didn't mention, obviously, a couple of things was that the retro shirts came out last week. Are you going to buy one of them?
I've not yet. However, I noticed that someone was telling me at the game yesterday that they're sold out, both online and
really?
In the shop. So that's
wow.
I don't know if they're getting more in. Surely they will at some point. So yes, I probably will when they come back in, but apparently they're sold out.
Oh, wow. I went down on Friday morning and I was just walking the dog and thought, I'll pop by a club shop, and I got the, like, I always wanted the 94-95 away top. I never had it. I only had the home top that season, which I then lost somewhere along the way, and actually bought one off you. But I went and bought that, so I'm going to wear it at seven a-sides tonight, I think. Get it on for sevens tonight, I think.
Is that going to be semi-final shirt as well, or are you thinking something else?
No, I don't know what I'm going to do for the semi-final. I've stopped wearing strips at games, and I'm just wearing like Falkirk-based t-shirts.
T-shirts and stuff.
We'll see where it is, but it's cracking. And then Jamie Seddon, who knew that Jamie Seddon was still alive? There he goes. But the first we ever heard of him, he's away to Queen of the South on an emergency loan. Jamie Seddon, the much forgotten Jamie Seddon, honestly.
Did we have to use some sort of AI to produce a Falkirk picture of him wearing the pink goalie top?
Maybe, because Jamie's saying our third choice goalkeeper, we thought he'd just been injured, but Jamie's away to Queen of the South, so best of luck to Jamie, because he's had a terrible, terrible time of it with injury at the club, so hopefully he can get down there, prove himself, and I would very, very much doubt that he'll be a Falkirk player next season. I think he's out of contract at the end of the season, so I would be very surprised if he's still in the Navy Blue next season.
Me too, yeah.
Yeah. Recognition night, if you've got a sponsor of a strip, is on the 5th of May. We've not had our invite yet, Ross, so I'm just waiting for that to come through the post as well. Obviously, with the Captain Armband sponsorship, we're waiting on that, guys. If you'd like to give us a wee shout, that'd be great. So that's what's going on with the club at the moment. Before we move on to talk about the game, let's say thank you to Behind the Wall. Brian might not be there anymore. It was a lot of people, I saw the folk, Carol picked up on the stories from the podcast last week that Brian's stepping away from the pub now, but he's still going to be going there, right enough, but it's still, you know, it's in fine hands with Bobby and the rest of the team at Behind the Wall who run it. So the Falkirk Daft Venom is still on sale. It is still on sale there, so get yourself there. I saw Brad Yule from Central FM, who does the breakfast show over there. He was making one when he was doing his challenge. So I think it was for, was it 40, how many years of it? Was he on here for 40 hours? The 45 hours, I think, for Strathcairn's 45th. So he was on 45, and well done to Brad for making a load of money for Strathcairn Hospice. And part of that was I saw him down at the ground, I saw him making a Falkirk Daft Venom Behind the Wall as well. So well done, Brad, for that. And remember, Behind the Wall, they've got events coming all the time, a couple of things coming up. 24th of April, what do you think about that? It's there. Afternoon with Tam Cowan's on the 25th, as are the Stereophonics, tribute band The Phonics, they're in there on the 25th as well. And obviously, you've got buses going in to take that at Hampden, £15 return, that is in June. And I think they've got about seven buses running from Behind the Wall on Saturday. I think it's some ridiculous.
Yeah, seven or eight, I think. All leaving about 10, back at 10. So I'm sure Behind the Wall will be heaving both pre-buses leaving and the buses coming back.
What time does your bus leave?
About quarter past 10, 20 past 10. So
Jesus, you could have been that ground for I mean, he just didn't
Well, I
have
think
that.
the expect no, I think with the traffic, you're probably talking getting there for about 11:15, 11:20. It's a 12 kickoff, isn't it?
Half
Ah,
12.
12. No, it's 12.
Half 12.
Me, I think it's done.
Great double check. Great double check. That's the thing. It's half 12. I think it's half 12. You checking it?
Checking it.
It's half 12.
It's half 12. Do you know?
Yeah.
I don't know why I had in my head it was noon.
Yeah. Because yesterday was a noon kickoff. That's why
Oh,
they
that's
called
maybe
it.
what I've. All right, okay.
I
I'll.
just to clarify, everyone, it's a half 12 kickoff, just
Right.
in case, like, because
Yeah.
we'll be. I'm thinking I'm going to work out the train from Larbert to Glasgow, and then we're going to go and find. I think we're going to go to Druthy Neighbours. I believe it opens at 9 o'clock, so breakfast roll and a pint of Tennent's, and then we'll probably maybe grab either a taxi out to Hampden or just jump on Mount Ford the train. We'll wait and see what.
Taxi sounds far easier, doesn't it?
Yeah, we'll wait and see how it goes. But aye, that's my plans for Saturday. But looking forward to it. But yeah, anything else from Behind the Wall, check it out at behindthewall.co.uk. Right, let's talk about the game now. I've not got a guest pundit this week, and probably for the best, because it's going to be a very, not angry, I'm just disappointed, Ross. I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed, as my
No,
mum
I don't
says.
listen. I think it's a losing is not the issue.
No,
It's not the issue,
it's the
right?
manner of the loss.
Yeah, I think, and you heard that from John McGlynn's
Oh yes, you heard
post-match
that from John McGlynn.
interviews that he's done with Falkirk TV, with everybody else as well. He was very, well, he was angry. He wasn't disappointed. He was angry. So I fully expect a bit of a Spanish Inquisition at training whenever they're back.
Nobody expects a Spanish Inquisition, no Ross.
Well, I bet the defence do this week. So I think yeah, it was a sore one, John, defensively. I know I said this briefly earlier on, but I just considering we scored three goals at home to Rangers, I didn't think we played that well.
No, I know, I get what you're saying. I thought we'd, like, first 40 minutes, I thought we were all over them and didn't look in any danger at all. And we let them in. I don't think we played as well as we did against Motherwell the week before in saying that.
No,
But
no, no,
I
no.
don't think you'd go down and say this is one of our best performances of the season, but find yourself 2-0 up against Rangers, going into, well, almost half time. It was incredible. I mean, one change from the side, and let's talk about that, was obviously Captain Cole coming back in for Leon McCann. I'm guessing that's been a tactical decision from John in terms of physicality. I don't know who was playing down the right for Rangers. Was it Mikey Moore? No, he was doing that down the left, wasn't it? Was it Gassama was going down the left for
Yeah,
Rangers?
I kind of get it if it's tactical, 'cause but then Leon's been fantastic. Like, did he didn't, yeah, I'm a wee bit confused by the defensive chopping and changing for what felt like not a huge reason, unless we thought Rangers were going to be doing something different. It just didn't work.
No, I don't think it did. I don't think it did. I mean, Rangers were that first half kind of set up. We obviously played our usual 4-3-3, and the team, out with of Leon kind of picked itself really after the win against Motherwell. But Rangers were kind of like a 4-2-4, it almost looked like.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about the changes they made at half time, because that certainly influenced the game. Because we in that first half, we dominated the midfield area. We really were all over it. Dylan Tate was excellent in that first half. Not so great the second half, I didn't think. But we were kind of dominating that midfield there. Finn obviously did his kind of industrious best as well. But it was a great start. It was a typical Falkirk goal, I would say. Calvin Miller breaking down that wing, and good, well done, Barney. Again, a very good performer yesterday. I thought he didn't get his goal, which was a shame because the last person to score in five consecutive Falkirk games was, and he'll be very happy that Barney didn't score yesterday. Let's just put it that way.
What decade are we talking?
He was in the 90s.
Richard Cadet?
Super Sam McGivern
Oh, was it
was.
Sammy? Was
Sammy
it?
was the last one to score in five
There we go.
consecutive games, so Barney didn't get Sammy's. Well, another one of Sammy's records has remained intact.
Still
So
intact.
that's still intact. But Barney did really well in the build-up. Calvin skipping down that left-hand side was causing Rangers all sorts of problems all game, down that left. And then great ball as he's done, and another assist for Calvin to take him top of the assist table, I think, now in Scottish Premiership as well. And Ben Brosio, like winger to winger, that's what you want to see. And Ben Brosio's got time to touch it before tapping it home.
I thought I was really chuffed with that goal. Like, in fact, the two first half goals I thought were like really well worked. And I know John McGlynn describes the second one as a little bit messy and not a, like a proper move. But the finish was outstanding. But going back to the first one, John, so cool and composed was Ben in that box. Butland is a fair size of a goalkeeper, and I can imagine him meters in front of you is quite an imposing figure, and I thought he did really, really well to tuck it away, and loved his wee celebration in front of the Rangers fans as well.
Yeah,
while it lasted.
So Ben gets off to a good start. Again, Ben was a strange one yesterday. Again, like, he got his goal and stuff, but again, and there was times where, you know, he was taking on players and doing really, really well, but at times he just fell out the game a wee bit. Mm-hmm. I felt from, you know, I mean, that was a lot could be said with the whole team yesterday, yeah, certainly that second half as well, but he got his goal, and, you know, for a young lad, that's, you know, that's another one to add. Is that him at three goals now?
Yes, I think it is three. Listen, he did well in spells, just as you said, but he did sort of fall away, as did almost everybody at points in the game yesterday. But another really nice finish. And listen, he's a troublemaker and he will cause problems. And I think Dunfermline won't look forward to facing him this weekend either.
Yeah, just because you just don't know what he's got to do, you know, and he's great, but he's got really, really good tight ball control, Ben. So, so 1-0 up. You know, we seem to have, like, Rangers kind of played a wee bit into our hands just in terms of the way we were set up and the midfield, and we looked good. We looked good. We were knocking the ball about decently. As you said, Ross, I don't think we were doing it at the level we did against Motherwell, but we looked, you know, good for it. And then, you know, the only Rangers had their first shot. Scott Bain, good save. You'd expect him to make that with his legs as well. And then we got a goal from Dylan Tate. Well, sorry, so Finn Yeats, after Dylan Tate's cross kind of fouled to him. And Finn, what a finish. Like, running onto it, like, and just hitting it first time with that curl and passing it right with a curl right into that bottom corner. Give Butland no chance. And a great finish from Finn Yeats. And as my son says, Finn Yeats only scores bangers.
Very true, very true. He big goals he scores as well, as you said. Beautiful finish. He just used the pace of the ball to guide it in. Didn't put his laces through it. Literally, just used the pace that was on the ball.
Side foot curl, boom.
Side foot curl. Right. A bit of an unexpected goal because you didn't think it was going to hit. If we were going to score, you thought it was going to be from like a cross and maybe like a Barney header or something like that. But a really, really good finish. And it didn't flatter us to be 2-0 up because we did have the best of the first half an hour, 35 minutes. Mm. I saw the Rangers manager talking about, oh, they took time to adjust to the pitch. Mate, there's nothing wrong with the pitch.
Oh, I saw that Dujon Sterling didn't play that game because he can't play on an artificial pitch. I'm sorry. See, if you're a professional footballer and you can't play an artificial pitch, I mean, you're surely trained. Yeah. You train on an artificial pitch. You were probably brought up playing on an artificial pitch as a youngster, training on that, and then you can't play on a professional. That's a joke, is it not?
Well, just to clarify, so he must not use the indoor facility at Murray Park or whatever they call Rangers training.
Because that's
AstroTurf, or is there special? Because it's
Maybe there's special compared to
in Murray Park.
Joke, absolutely.
I agree. It was just a joke of a comment for him to make, but he probably wouldn't have said it had they lost, because, you know, it's not cool to be blaming the pitch when they've. But he's obviously took the opportunity of a bit of a swipe at it.
There you go, and like it's the pitch is fine if you're a professional footballer. I always moan about this, like. You can play on grass, sure you can play on an artificial surface, like, especially a top quality Champions League style surface. That's, you know, it's just an absolute joke that, and managers fall back on that excuse, and it's like, if you can't play as a professional footballer on a pitch like that, fuck off. No chance.
Nice.
I will say though, the conditions yesterday, and Not a lot has been made about it, but I did speak to Calvin Miller and Keon Adams in the 1876 lounge after the match, and they just said the conditions out there, and you could see the wind just catching the ball. And I think that certainly led to Rangers' goal. You know, let's put to bed now, I don't think the ball was out. We've seen an angle. I think it was big Corey Hardy had posted the video from side on, and it doesn't look like the ball goes out. You know,
it's obviously not conclusive. However, it doesn't look as if with the way you see it going up and then back down, unless it is swung like right in and then back straight out again, which we've not got an angle to say that has happened. It looks like it's in, and you can tell from John McGlynn's viewpoint that he doesn't care whether it was in or out. You play to get the ball cleared, and we didn't. And it was a proper switch off. And I am sick and tired of losing these late first half goals, John.
Honestly, all season,
some margin, worst team season in the league for losing goals in that light last 5 minutes of the game.
It's ridiculous the amount of goals we've lost in that. You know, we talked about corners being Achilles heel, losing goals in the end of the first half. How frustrating is it? You know, it is really, really frustrating because, like, it changes the whole game. Defending for it, you know, we shouldn't have been given. I think it came from a free kick, didn't it, originally as well? You know, it hits the post the first time, then it comes back to Raskin, who swings it over. You know, the players switch off. It hits the post again, falls to Chukwuani, and he's able to just fire at home. It was just a comedy of errors. It really was just like switched off, and like, come on, it's a very, very un-Falkirk goal to lose. In fact, all the goals that we lost, you know, were very, very un-Falkirk goals to lose. You know, they didn't have to work hard for it, Rangers. Like for any of their goals,
no, they didn't
have to work hard.
It was too easy. It was too easy for them. And I did have the fear. Not at 2-1, I didn't, but at 2-2, there was a long way to go. And I thought, listen, they need to win this game. And I'm not, obviously, I know we want to win, but we don't need to win. Yeah. And that, I just felt that as soon as they go back, their noses back in the game, I thought there was only going to be one team winning that game yesterday. And it's kind of how it went.
But the thing is, at 2-1, the whole team talk's different. The whole mentality, the whole mood of the stadium is entirely different. You could hear from the Rangers.
Quiet.
You could hear from the Rangers supporters that they come back into it. You know, it gives them a lift. And we've done it so many times this season as well. And I don't know how to stop it, if it's a mentality thing from the players or what. But this losing a goal just before half time, it's got to stop. Really has to stop, and it certainly has to stop next Saturday, that's for sure. But like, it was just poor. It was a really poor goal to lose. And like, most, I think one of the poorest goals I've seen us lose under John. You can't think of any poor goals, and he rightfully was raging about it. However, Rangers changed their shape. Second half, they go in, they change their shape. They bring on Miowski. Mikey Moore goes off and they go two up front, and it's almost a 4-4-2 that they go to, and we just couldn't fucking cope with it. We could not cope with it at all, and we saw it straight from the off. I mean, the goal, like the traumatic goal, like Keelan Adams has to do so much better. Like he has to win that challenge on the edge of the box. He has to be stronger in that challenge, because that's where it comes from.
Be strong. Perfect.
Against Gassama, he needs to go through him and just take that ball and get it away. But Gassama gets it, and then Chermiti's just there to fire home from close range. You know, it's like, it was so frustrating. And then you find yourself 2-2 right off the back, like right in that first. And I'm sure John's first messages to the guys is like, first 15 minutes, just keep it tight. Get the crowds against them. Get them frustrated. But no, there we go, 2-2, and it was just really, really frustrating.
Very frustrating, and as you said, we're just not closing our man down, and it wasn't the first and only time, sadly, the defence just sort of gave up.
Just look at the Raskin goal six minutes later. Just look at that goal. He's got all the time in the world. I don't know what's going on. I don't know it comes from the right-hand side again, and it's no, you know, Keelan, I don't think, will hold his hand up and say, didn't have a great game, but a lot of the problems were coming from the right hand side. And whether Rangers have targeted that or not, Gassama, I think, had switched over to that side, you know, and was like, I think that's his preferred side. I'm not too sure about him, but, you know, they just got so much joy from that side. The ball, you know, comes across from that side. Nicholas Raskin's got, like, so much time. So much time and just pick his spot. Now, Scott Bain, I don't think was at fault for any of the goals yesterday. I don't think you could point the finger at Scott Bain for any of the goals.
He was left very exposed.
Yeah.
Very exposed.
I don't think Scott could have done anything about any of the goals yesterday. I really don't. And then you find yourself then 3-2 straight away. You know, that's 8 minutes the second half gone. You're 3-2 down when you were 2-0 up about 10 minutes ago. Like, just, honestly, it was just frustrating. And then, like you say, Ross, like, there was only going to be one winner from that point going on.
It felt like it. Obviously, we did score. We did get a pen. And you
penalty
think,
for you.
Probably more so than last week's one. However, listen, you need to put yourself, if you're in the box and you give these guys a chance to.
Lisa did very well.
I thought he did very well.
You know, Lisa put back on the left hand side, and again, just you'd love it to clone that boy and just have a back four of Philip Lisa's, because he was
team
just
of Philip Lisa's.
A team of Philip Lisa's, absolutely. But, like, you know, he does well. You've seen him at right back, and you've seen him at centre half now, and he just feels a bit out of position in that left back area when you see him now. I mean, he still does a really good job, and obviously you can see from the winning the penalty, playing the 1-2, and then just getting held back by Tavernier. You know, for me, it was a penalty.
I think so as well. And I thought this might give us a bit of a. Obviously, it does give you a lifeline, right? However, it's only a lifeline if you
can hold it.
If you can hold it, and we couldn't. So good finish from Calvin Miller before we move on. It was a good finish from him again. And he has
and
a good
Butland went the right way as well, and you got a hand to it, but he went the other way from what he did from Motherwell. So he did really, really well, because Butland's got a very good record at penalties as well. I think he saved like something ridiculous, like 8 or 9 in a row or something.
Yeah, I said that just before Calvin scored. I said that at the time. I was like, I'm sure he's got a very good penalty ratio. But Calvin did brilliantly to dispatch it.
Then at 3-4, you're going, right, see if you can get the nerves into Rangers and you start attacking, start playing the way that Falkirk did, like we saw in Motherwell. You saw, obviously, Kyrell coming on and Ben Parkins coming on. They're going to have something to think about now with those two, because we went 2 up top and we always matched formation with Rangers at that point. And Kyrell's pace is always going to give you something to think about, you know. And then you're thinking, right, okay, at 4-3, we can go. We've got a chance to just hold it. Like, start getting nerves, get shots, get chances in. Their crowd will start getting very nervous. The team will then start getting very nervous, and then it could be anyone's game. And you'd have walked away with 4-4. You'd have went, I'll take that after the way
I think the wrong player went off, John. I don't think Finn should have went off. I think, I'm not saying the position was the wrong change, but I would have moved him back, and I would have probably took Dylan off.
Dylan fell away. Like, I thought in the first half he was really, really good. Forward passes, looking for movement and stuff. I thought
he was
really,
exceptional
really good
in the first half. He was exceptional.
And then second half, I don't know what happened to Dylan, but it was just like, he just switched off. Yeah, and you could hear him actually. It was John McGlynn. Like, he was, I don't know if John McGlynn gave him a hiding, but when he was coming down, like, you were shouting at the fourth official, like, we saw it right in front of us, and John McGlynn was like, basically, Dylan has a right go at the fourth official just at the end of that first half when he was walking down the tunnel.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, John McGlynn was like going mental at him for doing that, I think. But, like, just, I don't know. But I think you're right. I think if you move Finn back in bit deeper and maybe brought on that
Finn
way.
Was having a great game.
Finn's having
even
a really
in the second
game.
Half, I thought Finn was. I thought he'd one of the man of the match for me. I thought he was just really consistent.
Cal Miller almost scores as well to make it 4-4. Just slightly with one pass.
Yeah, it was
the
far away.
It wasn't
far away at all.
But then we just let Rangers. You know, that's, you know, 5 minutes later we let Rangers back into the game, and it's 5-3, and it's game over. Like,
there's.
It was just again, Was
I
that
was
the one when
concerned.
it just fell to tr was that the one when it just fell to Tchermiti, wasn't it? And it just like came back and fell from him, and like the defences again just didn't react quick enough. Just didn't react quick enough. I thought
No, they
Cole
don't.
looked very leggy in that second half. I thought like he looked very leggy.
Weirdly, he was letting the ball bounce, and I don't know whether this was because of the wind situation, but he was exposed quite a bit just with the letting the ball bounce quite a bit, and then he's then got a man on top of him. So obviously we'll talk about next week, very, very shortly, but I don't know if he's obviously the defence did so well against Motherwell. Did we need to change anything? That's my perspective. Did we need to change a settled defence? I just don't get
I thought we should have cleared that one. It was just an
I
RPG
got the
goal, it
fear though
was.
when they scored five with realistically 20 minutes to go. I got the fear, and my fear was, like, six is bad. I thought this could be seven or eight because they were every time they went forward, they looked like potentially scoring.
We were miles off it. Miles off it. Absolute miles off it. And they did score. Ant-Man comes off the bench, in the 89th minute. Miowski gets his second one, and it was just again, it was a very Falkirk goal to score. I thought they got the ball wide,
Was.
fed it wide, and then Miowski's just standing there in the middle of the goal with no one around him, like, and he's got a tap in.
So
There's
simple.
no one about him. I'm like, come on! It was
So
just
simple.
too easy, too easy, and a really, really frustrating afternoon. Like, I'm just glad to hear that final. It's like you say, it could have been anything because we just lost our way so much. Like, I thought we'd use Kyrell's pace a wee bit more down that line. We just couldn't get the ball to him, really, either.
No.
And
The
like,
subs had no real impact.
no.
And it was unfortunate because Ben Parkinson and Carrill actually came on at a good point because we had just scored to make it 3-4. And you think, bloody hell, right, okay, we've got 15, 20 minutes now. We can have a right good go at them. And we didn't give ourselves a chance. And I think the result combined with all the shite in the North Stand and the main stand, there
Talk about
was
that in a minute.
obviously with the hospitality guests and stuff as well. It just felt like a right shite afternoon.
Do you know what? It was a right shite afternoon. And who's going to call it a right shite afternoon? Mr. McGlynn. Let's hear from him now.
John, it really was a game of two halves out there, a real roller coaster ride. How would you sum up what happened today?
Yeah, I think we started the game really well. What we wanted to do, put Rangers under pressure. We score a really, really good goal. Good bleeding left-hand side, on the box. Ben's come in, finished it off, really, really well. So, a start that you would look for. And I felt we dominated the first half. Finn scores a really good goal, good strike. No, so much kind of build up, kind of the ball breaks and he gets onto it and he hits it well. So in a great position, 2-0 up and coasting almost, I think they had a shot at the post and Ben had another save, not a run of the mill kind of save up until we lose that goal in the 42nd minute, 43rd minute. Disappointed with the defending in it. We can mump and moan and claim for this and claim for that. From under 10, you learn to play the whistle, and we didn't play the whistle. The whistle never ever went at any time. But we were no defending, no going for the ball, no making sure that the ball's out of play, that we force it out of play, that we play it out of play or play it up the park, and we get the ball out of the box. We're a little bit unlucky that when the lad heads it back across the goal, hits off the post and lands right at their foot to put in the back of the net. So we gave them a lifeline. Yeah, we gave Rangers a lifeline by no playing the whistle, by no competing, by claiming instead of playing out. So we've no day to blame but ourselves. Angles we've got will never give you anything conclusive on that at all. I don't know even if Sky, BBC, I don't think they'll even have anything. There's been games in the past where when you're talking about a ball being in or out, it's very, very difficult. I don't even know if this is close to being in or out. So, for me, we've only got ourselves to blame. I gave Rangers a lifeline. They responded, and they got a very early goal, which were soft. We are soft. We are soft in the challenge. We gas them out on the right side of the box. got to win the challenges, have to win the challenges. And you could almost say the same about virtually every goal that we've conceded there. Another one virtually in the same area and behind, even closer to the goal, where we allow a ball to go in between us into the middle of the goal for, you know, a tapping in the middle of the goal. Criminal defending, you know, everything. We concede the ball by trying to play through the iron needle, trying to play through the middle of the pitch, where we've been causing them problems going down on the outside. Barnaby was making some great runs, and he got us up the pitch. We end up losing the ball narrow, and then us getting hit in transition. They score a brilliant goal across the face of the goal in the far away corner. With no real time to recover in that, the ball broke in midfield. They went down the side, and a shot at goal. We managed to get ourselves a goal back through a penalty. Again, in that situation, we played the ball forward. We caused him a problem. From that problem, we get a penalty, and we take it. About 4 minutes between us scoring and getting back in the game to concede another. And all the goals, from our point of view, is very cheap. Fair play to Rangers. They've stepped things up, and they've, you know, taken advantage. They got a lifeline, and they took it. So it was a sore one from our point of view. I've never seen us defend so badly. And of course, the defenders are left isolated at times because we've no retained possession of the ball, we've lost possession, and we can get hit in transition. So it's not just a department of the team. We all defend without the ball, but to defend without the ball as a whole unit in possession, if we turn it over, you'll be open. And we certainly got hit in that today.
He's not happy.
No, and you get it. He saw, listen, he's not saw anything that we didn't see. So
it's actually a very valid point. He talks about us going down, try to go narrow down the middle of the park as opposed to going wide. Do you remember any time yesterday where we swung the ball into the box, which we're normally very good at doing that, and trying to find Barney? Barney had fuck all to work off yesterday.
No, and that's probably why he had such a...
Like, we've got the form striker in the form striker in the Premier League, right? And we've not given him any ammunition yesterday. Barney did well in his hold-up play and, like, winning the ball and stuff like that. You know, he was involved in, obviously, the first one. But, yeah. Like, we did not give the boy any ammunition yesterday.
No, we didn't. So, no, really poor. Really poor.
Aye, not great. Let's talk about that. We've talked about on the field, Ross. Let's talk about off the field now, because there's been, you know, a lot of criticism in the midst of this game. And I'll start off, I mean, hospitality, when you play against the Old Firm, I was obviously hosting the 1876 Lounge yesterday. Just mostly Rangers supporters. Mostly Rangers supporters. And it was a shame. It was a real shame. It was actually, it was the 1986 team, first team that won promotion to the Premier League that were in yesterday as a reunion. So it was great to see them
together. Wasted opportunity though, John.
Yeah, absolutely. So Wally Maguire, Jim Gilmore, Brian Purdy, John McCormack, Alan Irvine was back. He was a big player, you know, but these guys before my time, really. Peter Houston was there, so it was great to see him. They were all in there yesterday, Jordy Watson. And it was just full of Rangers supporters. You're trying to talk to these guys, and it's just like all talking. Just no.
I saw the feedback online as well. I saw that a couple of Bairns fans had said, and it's obviously no slight on you or the former players. It's just the fact that 90% of the people in the room,
couldn't care. I had to stop. I said, listen, I know you might be a Rangers supporter in here today, but we've got a bunch of Falkirk legends here. Please, give them a bit of respect and time. I actually, at one point as well, just said, fuck it. I said, listen, we should have renamed it the 2012 Lounge today with all you guys being in. Fuck it. I was just really frustrating, really annoying. Aye. But then you go out into the main stand, and then you see what's happening in that north stand yesterday. Mm-hmm. Like, now, I don't know how you police it. I don't know how you sell tickets to such a match. But you saw what happened. That big corner of ultras that were on the top, right, and then they were all just charging across.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh. And I've seen feedback online, like, we, in fact, we had it was Angela that got in touch with us, Ross, and
yes,
she's a season ticket holder in the North Stand, and she said, had this to say. She said, hi guys, listen to your podcast every week, maybe worth a wee discussion. We are season ticket holders in the North Stand today. The home section was packed with Rangers fans, quite obvious to all, but nothing being done to remove them. To be honest, felt vulnerable and unsafe in my home stand. Not what I pay my season ticket money for. Wondered what your thoughts are on preventing instances like this happening again. Like, it's ridiculous. To get that from a football fan who doesn't feel safe, I saw Rangers fans slagging what looked like someone with additional support needs, right? And who I think takes a drum and a megaphone, and he was getting, you know, powered. No, and it's just not on.
And do you know what it's gonna unless the club deal with this the right way, that last game of the season, there will be hundreds of Falkirk fans who choose not to go.
And see, if you're a Falkirk fan thinking to sell your season ticket to a Rangers support, hang your head in shame, by the way.
I
know we're in a situation now where people are trying to chase every penny, you know, and someone Rangers support might come along and offer you money for your ticket, £200 or whatever. Just try and have the gumption just say no.
Yeah,
just because it's the supporters around you. It's not just you. It's not about just you making a quick buck. It's
not about exactly.
It's the support around you that you've got to take
it
in mind.
See, obviously, the situation yesterday, I think, was handled appallingly.
And can you just say, stewards can't do anything, right?
No, they don't get paid enough.
They don't get paid enough to start
fighting with these guys,
right? They can't do anything. However, there was a row of policemen sitting there at the bottom of the stand just watching this happen. Yeah. And there was no consequences, absolutely no consequences for the people that jumped in. You tell me you can't spot who's jumped over.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't take Columbo to work out who's jumped over.
There's cameras there.
And you can see exactly who's jumped over. How can you not go up and hook them out the stadium?
No, I know. I agree. No, listen, I agree with every single thing you've said. And it was handled so, so poorly on the day. We have to make sure this doesn't happen again. Obviously, there's loads of suggestions from people and comments from people as to what the last game should look like, which there's been suggestions of no away fans at all, no further public sale of tickets.
I'd agree with that.
With those ones. ID everyone that goes in to match the name on the ticket, which is probably very time consuming, but listen, if it stops this, maybe that's what has to be done. But the other thing is, John, this public sale of tickets, the only deterrent, and I've moaned about this with other games that's been there, the only deterrent to stop a Rangers fan buying a ticket for the home end yesterday was to register for the website. That is it. So if they have the mental capacity, which is shocking that some of them actually did have the mental capacity, to fill in a form, that is it. So regardless of what they needed to do or where. Now, I'm not suggesting that Falkirk have to put like a postcode ban, right? Because there's Falkirk fans who don't live in Falkirk, right? However, Hearts today are putting their tickets on sale for their games against Falkirk and Rangers. You can only buy a Hearts versus Rangers ticket if you have purchased 10 Hearts tickets, not against Rangers previously.
Great idea.
It is a great idea, but you just know our ticket system is not set up for that. It won't be. But we need to. We're in with the big boys now. We need to have a big boy system, and it doesn't sound like we do.
Yeah. No, my solution to it, and it's quite simple, is no public sale. Give Rangers an extra section, move the tarpaulin over, give them an extra section, and don't do a public sale. And then just make sure that all the season tickets in the North Stand are there. And I'll tell you another solution, police pulling their finger out and actually policing it rather than just sitting there watching it. It was ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
The authorities in the club need to have a conversation. And the steward and company need to have a conversation as well. It's not as if listen, they've not paid enough to get involved with fist fights and all this kind of stuff. And we don't condone that anyway, right?
No.
But the stewards also need to do... See if this was a gig, right? You never see that happening at gigs. The people try it,
They get helped, huh?
They get chased and they get kicked out, right?
And
the same thing should have been happened at the stadium.
Can you imagine it happened the other way? You imagine it happening the other way, where there's a bunch of Falkirk supporters couldn't get a ticket for the Falkirk end at Ibrox, and they're all in there, jumped up. Can you imagine?
No, I know.
You know what I mean? So it's one rule for them, and it seems to be one rule for everyone else. And I tell you what, don't get me started on the songbook. Like, do not get me started on some of the vile songs that are getting sung from that section, and yet no repercussions from the SFA or the SPFL. When UEFA have something like that happens in the European stage, there's repercussions. There's stadium bans for supporters.
Did you see the wee five? Did you see the wee 5 or 6 year old, by the way, who was on the stairwell closest to the stewards? He was obviously, his dad was a whoever he was with was a Rangers fan, right? And all the usual shite songs that they sing. This wee boy is singing and chanting and doing all the hand gestures. This is a 5 or 6 year old laddie. What chance have you got when
it's 2026? For fuck's sake. Do you know what? We all know why, because obviously the big boys, Rangers and Celtic, are vital to the money that comes into this game. I'm sorry, that might be the case, but come on, man. If UEFA can turn around and do it to them on a European stage, SPFL and the SFA, they heard the songs that were getting sung. The TV audiences across the world watching it could hear the songs getting sung.
They give it lip, John, you know as well, they give it lip service and that's it.
Until there's a clampdown on Rangers and Celtic with some of the songs they sing as well, there needs to be, honestly, I mean, it's ridiculous that in 2026, now we'll sing songs, right? And we'll sing songs that are probably not appropriate, but it's nothing to do with politics, religion. It's to do to something to do your fierce rival. So we'll sing It's Down the Town of Dunfermline, which is actually not offensive at all in the way it's sung. But there's nothing really offensive in the songs. It's just like, when it starts coming,
I'm of the opinion, right, from the ticket situation, from how the fans behaved as well. I'm actually of the opinion, I don't think we should be giving them any tickets.
You can't do that because
they didn't give Celtic any tickets.
Well,
so that it can be done, right? I don't think Falkirk will go down that route.
No.
But the bigger issue for me on the day is whatever they do with the North Stand is going to be absolutely pointless if they don't look at the hospitality situation as well. And I don't know about you, and we've not had a conversation about this at all, right? But see if the 1876 lounge again is rammed full of Rangers fans, there is absolutely no need for Falkirk-related entertainment in the lounge.
Yeah.
We may as well just do our own thing, because what is the point? Yeah. And it's the same for Alan Dick, who hosts the Brockville Lounge. There is no point in him rolling in a couple of Falkirk legends to be...
Unless it's Alex Ray.
Do you know what I mean, though? It's like, what is the point? And the club have probably got more control over hospitality guests than they do general away punters trying to get in the home section. So it's a huge thing. Now, Falkirk have quite rightly been given an awful lot of praise for how they've handled situations. Now, the good news is, right, we've not heard for the club as yet, but they will be putting something together.
Poor Jamie Cronin's inbox today, by the way.
How they handle this is going to be key, because the decisions that they make, because if it feels like they are putting money ahead of opinion or feelings, that's just not going to wash. Yeah. So it has to be the right decision that's made, and it's a big one. It's a big one.
See if Rangers are going for that title in the last game of the season, can you imagine that after the game yesterday, the wee ultras were getting chased by the police horses yesterday. It was like people in the lounges were just watching this unfold outside the stadium. Rangers are going for that league title, there needs to be a ring right round that stadium or something, because there's going to be thousands of them. I would not put past trying to get into the stadium, and it'll be any way or which means they can get into that stadium if Rangers are going for that title, and if they were to win the title, God forbid us, because it's going to be an absolute health and safety nightmare. So bolt the doors, stadium doors, and
do you know the other issue is,
ring right around it.
John, the other issue is our stadium is actually not great for Like it's fit. Like other than the bricks of the stands, it's metal fencing all the way around. How easy would that be for it to be compromised by hundreds of people? It would be so easy to be done. I don't know what I don't know what the answers
I
are.
don't know
I
what the
don't know what
solution
the
is.
answers are, but it has to be the right solution though. And this is a huge thing that's on the club this week. They don't need it because obviously it's the semi-final coming up, and that the focus should be on that. But actually, this is a huge thing that they're going to have to
Or
deal with
park
this
it,
week.
till after the next week, by the way. Absolutely park it and focus on the semi final. But they need to start looking ahead to this. They need to be prepared. Policing, stewarding, the club all need to combine in this. And because that end of the season, if it's got potential, like let's just hope that the Rangers are out of the title race and the Hearts have gone on to win it by that point, because it's going to be an absolute health and safety nightmare. And Falkirk supporters are the ones that are going to be affected by it at the end of the day. But you saw
Tell me
from
one
Angela, who
thing.
got in touch with it, as you've seen responses on social media to the club, like, and you could see it, like the amount of videos that popped up on my social media of, oh, I'm undercover today, I'm in the Falkirk and undercover and all this sort of stuff. Fuck off. Like, honestly, it does my box, and it really does. And there's so many. I mean, we all know this area. Not everyone's a Falkirk supporter. You see the buses leave here every Saturday, every Sunday to go to Ibrox, you go to Parkhead, and it's
But let's not make it too easy for them as well
oh
at the same time, which is
no.
what feels like has happened. And I, do you know, there shouldn't be families or individuals like the guy that you've just mentioned. These people shouldn't feel
Threatened in their own club.
nervous or threatened about going to a Falkirk home game.
No.
And if they are, then that's something that needs and they will be, of course they will be. That's what needs sorted.
I just, like I say, I think the only way of policing it in that final day, give them an extra section, don't put on a public sale, make sure all the North Stand season ticket holders have got their position in the North Stand, and just put on an extra section. No, let them deal with it. But on top of that, then there needs to be the stadium needs to be ring fenced in some sort of, and the police need to step up on that, by the way. The police 100% need to step up on that, and I'm sure they will because it's a league decider. I think what happened yesterday is it was a bit unexpected, but I'm saying it's unexpected. It should be expected from Rangers. It should 100% be expected from Rangers
I know.
supporters. It was really poor yesterday,
It
but.
was.
Yeah, I'm sure the club will be like, and the club are obviously more than welcome to come on here and make a statement, talk about it as well. And I'm sure we will hear through social media channels, through a statement, what they're going to do to sort it. Because there's the one thing you can say of this board, to say of Jamie, to say of the commercial team, they'll
Although
sort this.
they will come out and own it, 100% they will own this. But the right decision needs to be made. It's hard because I can't visualize what the right decision is yet,
No.
but it has to be something that's looking after the Falkirk fans and not an extra 300 Rangers fans potentially. Do you know what I mean? It's got to be done for Falkirk fans in mind.
100%, 100%. Right, let's see what you guys had to say about just the game. And I think there's a few about obviously the situation yesterday in the stands. Wee Tam the Bairn kicks off saying good first half, need to see his halves out and go in 2-0, and it's a different game. Defence not good enough. I need to get back to Lisa, Allen, Hendo and McCann for next week. A lot of shouts for Conor Allen to start, Ross. As you rightly pointed out though, Conor Allen is not a centre half. He was a converted midfielder into a centre half. And if there are fit centre halves, I don't think Conor Allen will play back there. I think you're right with that.
No, I don't think he will either. I don't see Conor Allen as much as a lot of people would prefer. He's not going to start against Dunfermline in the centre half position. I don't know where that leaves us, but the thing is, we didn't have Conor Allen playing centre half against Motherwell, and we won that game fairly comfortably. And Motherwell are four, five times the team that Dunfermline are. So, what was wrong with the defence that played
I
against
did see a
Motherwell?
lot of people putting up stats like the combination Hendo with, and Allen was obviously the one that's lost the least amount of goals in that time. I really feel sorry, and obviously John McGlynn spoke about it in an article with the Herald this week, talking about the fact that he feels bad for Conor Allen because he was playing so well there. But like again, John, he'll just want big physical boys in there, so. I don't know. I don't know what the
I
answer
don't
is.
know
I
which
feel
way.
sorry for Connor myself.
Yeah, no, I do too. I don't know what John's going to do, but I think he really needs to look. The defence could end up being the make or break situation for us, because the midfield and the attack and the most do the jobs that they need to do. And it is defensively where this game potentially could be lost. Maybe not so much won, but it could be lost in defence, you know. Ali T Jr. says last game of the season should be season ticket holders only for the North Stand.
Chris said we got levied in the second half, and just goes to show that we can't deal with big men by simply having other big men marking them. McCann would have probably been better placed to stop some of these goals being crossed in or stop the shot.
Essentially, yep. Craig Cruikshank says need to be more streetwise in midfield. Countless times we lost the ball second half. We had Lissa and Adams up the pitch, and we never took a foul since we were all going forward. Defensively, all over the place in the second half.
Yeah, Colin says we've got the most informed striker in the league and didn't put a single cross for him. That's just what I said, Colin. I
Yeah,
100% agree with that.
absolutely. Sam Smith, not the Sam Smith, I assume. These are the kind of games where you look at, you have to look at the bigger picture and where we came from, because we played some great football in the first half. McGlynn does, however, need to realise what his best defence is, as it can't become a habit conceding so much.
Oh, it's not. I mean, to be fair, we have conceded 8 in our last 2 games in saying that. But yeah, I spoke to Keelan, like I said, Keelan and Calvin were up in the lounge afterwards. Not that many of the Rangers supporters were about by that point, but and I think they it took them a wee while, let's just say, to make it up to the lounges on Sunday. But they were saying it's just a blip. They had it down as just being like just an off day, a blip, and you know. They know full. They are truly focused on that game on Saturday. Trust me on that one. Finally, Ada's dad says not even fussed about the result. They had to win. We didn't. League's objective has been fulfilled. Experiment in the remaining games and go on to win the cup. I've said that. I've said that. I'm with Ada's dad on that 100%. But it's just sore when you lose 6 goals at home. And like I say, I think the last time we did that was against Clyde and at Brockville 25 years ago, maybe. In fact, it would be, yeah.
No, listen, I think Queen's Park put 6 past us.
At stadium.
No, oh, sorry, at the stadium. Sorry, I am
At
thinking
home,
of that away game.
at home,
Oh, yeah.
yeah.
Could well be, mate. Could well be. I can't recall, but
No, I'd let us know in the comments below. When was the last time Falkirk conceded 6 at home? Like a long, long time ago. And as you say, conceding 6 and scoring, when you score 3, you expect to win that game at home, but.
absolutely.
Was not to be, right? Falkirk Daft rated. What we're going for?
Finn Yates for me, brilliant goal, and all round for the minutes that he was on the pitch, I thought he was phenomenal. Obviously, you have to give a huge shout out for Calvin Miller as well, and he may well be your
That
player
was
of the
going to be
match,
my
but
choice. Calvin was going to be my choice.
which I get because he scored, he set one up, he's had another really good game. Listen, I'm happy to go with either or, John, but for me, Finn was just phenomenal.
I'm going to give it to Calvin. I thought he was a real pest in that first half to Rangers, and certainly second half as well. Calvin didn't do much wrong. He got an assist, he got a goal. I do think he's just again followed on from that Motherwell performance as well. And I thought he was excellent yesterday. And when in a time where Scotland are needing pacey wingers, Steve Clarke's got to be looking at him. He's got to be looking at him,
Well,
especially if
he
he
should be,
continues in that
based.
form.
He's too busy in New York for Tartan Week. Honestly, the mind boggles, John.
There you go. There you go.
Anyway.
So, we'll go with Calvin Miller or Finn Yates.
No, listen, go with Callum. Yep.
All right, Calvin. Dafty.
Just been Rangers Football Club.
Rangers Football Club. Yeah, just
2012.
stewarding, policing, whatever it has to be. Yeah, it's just really just poor, 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 poor. So there you go. That's your Dafty for this week. Right, I've got that. Glad to got off that all of our chest now, Ross. So we can look forward to the semi-final now, which is, of course, coming this Saturday. I can't wait for that. But before we go, we've got to say thanks very much to the Falkirk football fans in training with the T8s. I see there's a walking football tournament going on. We're in Spain. I think the Old Bairns are over there playing this
Right.
week. So the best thought to the Old Bairns over in Spain this week, doing it for the club at the walking football. But yeah, if you talk about the Falkirk football fans in training, get down there Wednesday 8:30 to 9:30. They've got the Elite Academy and Legend sections, as the over 50 section now. You can't be an ex-pro You have to be strictly over 40, or in Ross's case, you can be over 50. No registered amateurs either, but it's a great bunch of guys, as we always say, and get yourself down to the Falkirk Stadium. If you want to help a bit of fitness, get fit again, help your mental health, Wednesday, 8:30 to 9:30. All the links are below, so to get in touch with either Ian or Willie. There you go. Right. On to Dunfermline now. I'm just going to be a long week. It's going to be a long, long week. I am shiting myself, especially after yesterday. But, you know, they were missing
Dunfermline aren't Rangers.
They're missing Andy Todd. I think Chukwuma Mullin.
Is he just on the Andy Todd thing? I don't know if there's a wee bit of gamesmanship being played by Neil Lennon.
He might be out for the season.
That was the chat towards the end of last week. However, there's murmurs from Dunfermline side that he will be fine for the semi final. So it's changed. That rumour has changed in the last 48 hours. So
Interesting.
I do wonder if we might end up seeing him play.
One player that will be playing is Callum Morrison, came off the bench against Thistle and apparently played very, very well. So interesting times ahead. We'll wait and see what happens. We'll be doing a preview of the Dunfermline game with my friend and colleague and Dunfermline supporter, Stephen Mill. He'll be on with us later on in the week for a bit of chat about that. So we'll be back with the preview show probably Thursday, but thank you very much for watching and listening to this episode. Remember, get us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. You can subscribe to the YouTube channel, like and subscribe, hit that button, smash that button, do whatever the YouTubers tell you to do. You'll get merch, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk, and we've got stuff up at pintsandprints.co.uk if you want to get kitted out for the semi-final this weekend. All the chats kicking off in the Discord channel, the link to that is below. Get all involved in the Discord and get all the chat for the young team in there. Always lively discussions ongoing on that, so you can keep being Falkirk Daft during the week, even when the podcast isn't on. Right, listen, we've been John and Ross on Falkirk Daft. It's on to Hampden now. We'll see you on the preview episode next week. On Thursday. And until that time,
expect unexpected, as always.
We're Falkirk Daft. We're Falkirk Daft. Talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're Falkirk Daft. We're Falkirk Daft. Listen in the pub, or you can listen in the bath. We're Falkirk Daft, we're Falkirk Daft. For everyone who's kidding about being a Falkirk Bear, we're Falkirk Daft. We are Falkirk Daft.